Chapters 5 to 11 of John's Gospel. If the word simple means plain and uncomplicated in form, nature, and design, then there is simplicity in part 1 of John. Chapters 2 to 4 has signaled the end of the old order. Chapters 5 to 11 signals the establishment of the new. I see here seven patterns of salvation, each a foreshadowing of life in Christ by the Spirit. Notice how we are given a bare minimum of information as to times and places. Chapter 5, verse 1, sometime later. Chapter 6, verse 1, sometime after that. Chapter 7, verse 1, after this Jesus went around in Galilee. Chapter 8, 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people. Chapter 9, verse 1, as he went along. Sanders sees the present order of this material as clearly intentional and supposes that we have here some of the author's sermons, exclamation mark. But why not? It's much more likely than that John is merely an honest recorder of events with no agenda of his own to develop. So, granted a planned sequence, we begin with a remarkable exposition of justification in chapter 5, and conclude the series with an incomparable presentation of resurrection in chapter 11. As regards the former, we've been accustomed to those who turn to Paul to teach them justification, yet 5:24 in John and 3:18 a page earlier is equally clear on no condemnation. In an overview like this, it isn't possible to consider these five chapters, as would be the case in preparing for a sermon series. I do recommend such a series, and hope myself still to have time to discover for myself the wealth that is in these sermon chapters. But here's an initial attempt to investigate John's logic in chapters 5 to 11. Justification as a sovereign deliverance, chapter 5, leads to saving belief that is a participation in Christ and Him crucified, chapter 6, involving the gift of the Spirit, chapter 7, who leads us to the Father and the truth, chapter 8, with the result that eyes are opened to the ruthless opposition from the formal religious establishment toward Jesus and his gospel, chapter 9, necessitating a shepherd king to secure the eternal safety of his people, chapter 10, and finally ensure that death, the last enemy, has no dominion over them, chapter 11. Chapter 6, I think, has proved a particularly contentious passage, no doubt in part because Semitic language and different cultures have their own terminologies and ways of speech. An example is 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 19. 1 Chronicles 11, 19. What is certain is that saving faith involves participation with Christ crucified, verse 51, something that in all times and in all societies has proved to be a serious stumbling block. So that, as in this chapter, many would-be disciples turn back and no longer follow the Lord, verse 66. We have only to read Mark 8:32 following, though there, of course, the story had a better ending. It has seemed to me, from fairly long observation, that the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, often called the Eucharist, scandalizes nobody. Token believers happily attend, more or less regularly, with little sense of shame or shock. Yet the preaching of the cross continues to remain an offense still. 1 Corinthians 1:23.